Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all in this beautiful sanctuary and all those who have come to join us via Zoom. I extend warm welcomes to each and every one of you, wherever you are. And I pray that we will all experience God's presence in our life this morning and listen to God's voice through the message that he has prepared for us. A joke that I'm about to hear, there's no hidden agenda for some of you who may have a Catholic background. A nun, Sister Margaret, went to heaven only to be told by Saint Peter that there was a waiting list. "Go home and relax," suggested Saint Peter. "Call me in a week, and I'll let you know whether your accommodation is ready." The following week, she phoned and said, "Peter, this is Margaret. I have a confession to make. I had my first ever cigarette yesterday. Will it affect my chances of getting into heaven?" "I'm sure it won't," said Saint Peter. "But your room still isn't ready yet. Call me in a week." A week later, she calls again. "Peter, this is Margaret. I have a confession to make. I had my first ever alcoholic drink yesterday. Will it affect my chances of getting into heaven?" "I'm sure it won't," said Saint Peter. "But your room still isn't ready. Call me in 3 days. 3 days later, she rings again. "Peter, this is Margaret. I have a confession to make. Last night, I kissed a man for the first time. Do you think it'll wreck my chances of getting into heaven?" "I shouldn't think so," said Saint Peter. "But give me a ring tomorrow. By then, I'll have checked it out with the boss man, and I'll know about your accommodation." The next day, she phones again. "Pete, it's Mac." "Forget about the room." We don't know what happened to her. Can we plan or even delay the day of our departure as we wish? Our departure time belongs to God's realm, and it's not up to us to decide. I sometimes cannot help but ponder when my departure will be. Paul's second letter to Timothy explains when we will leave this planet. Paul wrote 13 epistles in the New Testament, and the second letter to Timothy is considered to be the last one Paul wrote before his death. To understand Paul's final writing better, let us look at Paul's timeline from his arrest in Jerusalem to his death in Rome. We learned last Sunday that Paul was arrested in Jerusalem around 55 AD and had a chance to be released, but he appeals to stand in Caesar's court. Paul was a Roman citizen, and Nero was enthroned a year before Paul's arrest. Paul probably heard who the emperor was, but would not have known Nero on a full scale. Nero, at the beginning, did some honorable things, believe it or not. For example, he removed secret trials and capital punishment, lower taxes, and allow slaves to sue unjust owners. But Nero had a dark side. He sent assassins to kill his own mother in 59 AD. Paul arrived in Rome around 60 AD, a year before his mother's death, and he was placed under house arrest. Thankfully, Paul was able to preach the gospel at the rented house for 2 years. Paul was released from imprisonment for several years afterwards. In the meantime, the great fire instigated by Nero broke out in Rome in 64 AD, and the persecution of Christians started shortly after. The unfortunate timing of Paul's arrest during the Nero's reign, Nero's setting fire in Rome, and Nero's Christian persecution did not leave any chance to prove Paul's innocence in Nero's court. Scholars say that Paul wrote 2 Timothy between 64 and 65 AD, which means Paul wrote the letter after the great fire broke out and the persecution began. Did Paul know that he was reaching his end when he wrote the letter? Apparently, he kind of sensed it, and he did know. Verses 6 and 7 serve as proof that Paul knew his departure. Paul said, "I am already being poured out like libation." That's the translation that the New NRSV used, and it's the libation. Libation is a drink offering. "I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. The time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race." Paul's words were clearly predicting his imminent death. Paul was imprisoned a second time in Rome around 66 AD and was executed 1 year later in 67. He was 62 years old when he suffered martyrdom. What the most remarkable thing for Paul was, despite that he was in prison, despite that he did not have any chance to walk away from the tyrant, despite he knew his end was near, nothing could discourage him from preaching the gospel. Why was Paul so courageous? Because to Paul, his death was secondary. Building the kingdom of God was the primary goal, and that building the kingdom of God needed to continue beyond his death. Note how Paul began chapter 4. "I give you, Timothy, this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage." If I paraphrase this, Paul was exhorting Timothy, saying, "I'm going to go to my eternal home, but Timothy, you need to continue and build and strengthen Christ's churches." Verses 6 and 7 hint what's involved in the timing of our departure. Can we know when our departure will take place, as Paul did? We do not know precisely in what year, but Paul said, "We will depart when we pour out to the Lord everything we have, like a drink offering." In today's term, a drink offering is a bottomed-up cup in which there is no drink left. Jesus offered himself as the drink offering. He gave everything he had for our salvation, with no drop of his blood left in his cup. The timing of our departure will be like that. We will leave when we exhaust everything and fulfill our mission from God in the world. That is our mission from God in this world. But God's mission needed to be continued. Even after we go, God's mission needed to be, God's kingdom needed to be built regardless our cause, even death. Therefore, our focus should not be so much on our how long we can serve God, but on how the ministry of Jesus can continue after we are gone. Asking how long we can serve God can be constructive when we relate the question to ministry. Considering the average lifespan during Jesus' time was between 30 and 35 years, Paul lived a long life. The 12 disciples, except James, who suffered martyrdom shortly after Jesus' ascension, lived longer than Paul did. Most of the disciples suffered martyrdom, but their average age was 75 years of age. The disciple John lived up to 98 years and died a natural death. Our lifespan will be longer than that of Paul and most of the disciples. Life expectancy in the U.S. in 1900 was about 47 and 67 in 1950. Today's life expectancy in the U.S. is 80 years and continue to rise thanks to improved healthcare and medical science. The baby boomers will enjoy about 25 years of retirement on average. Many retirees in good health enjoy longer, and centenarians are becoming more common. You know Ed Elliott at our church? He lived to be 106, and in my opinion, he was the oldest Methodist member in the entire world. I might be wrong, but that's how I guess, what I'm guessing. I believe some or many of you in Yucaipa will break his record. Statistics predict that by the end of this century, the maximum human lifespan could reach 130 years. The United Nations estimates that by 2100, we'll be all gone by then, there will be 25 million centenarians globally. 25 million centenarians. Increased lifespan gives us insight into a particular age group our church can reach. Although our church does not have children and has few youth, we are good at serving the older age group, which has actual potential for growth for our church. Note what J2T Financial Recruiting posts on its web. It says, boomers, baby boomers, make up nearly one-third of the total United States population, making them one of the largest living adult generations, second to millennials. 10,000 baby boomers reach retirement age every day. I don't know exactly if the 10,000 baby boomers retire every day, but that's actually the number. The youngest boomers will reach full retirement age in 2031. And you know what that means? At that point, they will be around 75 million people living in the United States, over the age of 65. Drawing on Social Security, of course. Social Security has problems. You know what that means? That's the good news for us. There are 75 million people just like us. We can reach out and fill this sanctuary. Is it possible? I believe so. Our church has received close to 60 new members for the last 8 years, and we are welcoming more today. Most of the new members are in the older age group, and we can continue to grow by serving the baby boomers generation. Based on the increased lifespan and projected growth in the retired population that remains strong and healthy, I think we all need to redefine our age, because you know, there will be more older folks out there on the street. How are we going to redefine? This is my idea. People in their 60s should be regarded as very young. Very young. Those who are in their 70s are considered younger. 80s, in their 80s, young. 90s, older. Only when people reach 100, then they can be regarded as old. I have a question, okay? If any of you worshiping here, if you are below 60, raise your hand. Wow. Wow, we have more than several. You know who you are? You guys are just babies. We need to send you guys to the nursery we have. But that's our new reality, and that's the good news for us, for us like an aging congregation. I mean, we say we have already served the Lord for many years. We have done this and done that. We have everything to serve the church and serve the people of God. But our retirement does not mean the finish line. To translate our service as a drink offering, we have offered only a portion of our cup. We are still young and have much more and longer to offer and build Christ's church. And more importantly, there are plenty of retirees we can reach out to and serve. And the ministry of Christ's church must continue onto the second finish line. We think that, you know, the finish line we have, that's the time of our departure, and that's it, no more. We should not care anymore after that. But there is a second finish line that we all should be mindful of, and that is the Christ return to this earth. We want to build this church so that this church can last until He comes back here on earth. Paul is our role model for serving the Lord. He showed us that we serve God to our finish line. That is our first finish line. But we should be intentional about extending the ministry of Jesus today so that this church can remain onto the second finish line. During his 1960 presidential campaign, Robert F. Kennedy often closed his speeches with a story of Cornell Davenport, the Speaker of the Connecticut House of Representatives. I mean, some of you who are older may have heard of this story. One day in 1789, the sky of Hartford darkened ominously, and some of the representatives, glancing out the window, feared the end was at hand. Quelling the clamor for immediate adjournment, Davenport rose and said, "The day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, there is no cause for adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. So get busy. Therefore, I wish that candles be brought." We will surely serve the Lord until we reach our finish line. But the ministry of our church should continue until the second and ultimate finish line. May we serve the Lord in such a way that this house of faith continues beyond our finish line and is preserved until the day of His return. Amen.